Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Coming up at 4, Mike Mayock will join us to help look forward to Eagles versus Packers. Coming up at 4:30, a very big surprise special guest. We can't tell you who it is, but that's coming up at 4:30. And joining us now, as he does every Thursday at 3 during the Eagles season, which is still going on, thankfully, is Shiel Kapadia of The Ringer. Shiel, how we feeling, man?
Doing well, guys. How you doing?
It's playoff time, Shiel. That's how we're doing. We're very serious. We're locked in. Are you locked in? We need a locked in Shiel right now.
I'm locked in. It's one of those things where you look at it and it's like, are they going to be playing for the next month? Or are we going to be having some weird conversations when we do this hit next week? So that's why the playoffs are great. You don't know how long it's going to last.
Yeah,
that's true.
I'd like to have a weird conversation after a win. Let's do both next week. Let's do both. So, Shiel, assuming that Jalen Hurts gets cleared, which hasn't happened officially, but he's out there at practice today. So after practicing yesterday, we think signs are too good. Would you, if you were the head coach, would you limit him in any way? He's been concussed once this year. There was another one that we think might have happened that maybe he beat the test on. But from a running standpoint, from a throwing the ball standpoint, would you do anything differently with him on this Sunday that you would normally do?
I don't think so, especially from a running standpoint. I mean, the foundation of the entire offense is the run game and the offensive line and Jalen Hurts being part of that dynamic run game with Saquon Barkley. So I wouldn't limit that in any way. If anything, and I feel like, hey, let's make sure we shake some rust off early. Can we get him some easy completion early in the game? But to be honest, I like when they do that anyway. You know, they don't do it for most of the season. They did it in that Steelers game. So can you just get him some easy completions, get him in the game since he hasn't played for a little while? But in terms of physical limitations and trying to, you know, avoid hits and stuff, like it's the playoffs. I don't think it's time for that.
Yeah, I got to disagree on that, Shiel. I just think you got to be smart with him. I think this is a team. Now, if it's needed and it's late in the game and you have to go to it, that's fine. But I think to come in and go with this as if you don't have to worry. In other words, I don't think the Dolphins would put Tua out there and be like, you know what, we're just going to play Tua no matter way, and it doesn't matter what happens. I think when a guy has been banged up, and it took him, what, two and a half weeks to come back, I don't know if I just want to put him right back in the fire of taking on hits, because these things are easier to happen once it's happened once already. And I got a 225, 30-pound running back there with a massive offensive line. If I can avoid the exposure I give with Jalen Hurts as far as taking on contact, then I'm going to try to do that. I understand it's going to happen because he's out there playing, but I would be conscious of how much I call design plays where the quarterback is running. That's just how I look at it.
Well, the other thing here, though, Ike, is that, you know, when he runs the ball, like some of the big hits happen when he's holding on to the football. I mean, he gets
sure.
Back on 10%
yeah.
of his dropback, so it's kind of hard to do that. You know, some of the run plays, he can get down, he can brace for contact, he can avoid the big hit, whereas sometimes when he's scrambling around or he's in the pocket and you blow a protection or something, he's getting that big hit. So I hear what you're saying. I mean, we are at a bit of an information deficit where we don't know, you know, was this more serious and that's why he's just clearing the protocol? Did it have something to do with, hey, we don't need to rush him back out there in week 18? So, yeah, we don't know all of those little details, but I hear what you're saying.
So you mentioned Jalen getting sacked on 10% of his dropbacks. Jordan Love is a guy that doesn't get sacked very much at all. Though he's an interesting quarterback because he doesn't always wow you. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. What are we looking at as the Eagles face Jordan Love on Sunday?
Yeah, he's a little streaky, you know, and even within a game, like there have been Packers games this season where the first half you look at it and you go, I'm supposed to take this team seriously as a Super Bowl contender, and then all of a sudden they reel off three, four, you know, possessions in a row where he's on fire. So he can make the high degree of difficulty throws. The, you know, it's a tight window where, man, that's an ambitious pass to even try. He'll attempt those throws. He will miss some of the easier throws, some of the layups, you would say, where you say the accuracy isn't great. So it's hard to know which version of him you're going to get there. But to your point, maybe his biggest strength is avoiding sacks. I mean, he is, I think, you know, third best in the NFL at doing that, where he's got that good internal clock where he sits back there in the pocket and he kind of knows just when to get rid of the football to avoid that negative play. So he wants to push the ball downfield. That's how the Packers operate. They're not like a methodical passing game. When they throw the football, they're using play action. They're trying to take shots downfield. And the Eagles' maybe biggest strength on defense is limiting those shots downfield. So I think that does work a little bit in the Eagles' favor.
I look at this team, Shield, and we focus a lot on the offense, and rightfully so. That's where the names are. That's where the stars are. But the best overall unit has been this defense this year, right? The offense has been flash. It's shown us Saquon, AJ at times or what have you. But this defense finished number one in total yards given up, number one against the pass, second in total points given up. I think they're going to be the star of this postseason. What do you think about this defense going up against Josh Jacobs this time, Jaden Reed? I know Josh Jacobs had a pretty good game in that first game, a lot of missed tackles, but this is a different defense than they faced in the opening week.
You know, in that first game, the Packers had three runs of 20-plus yards. The rest of the season combined, the Eagles gave up three runs of 20-plus yards. And so it kind of just – it speaks to what you're saying. Like, that was a different unit. And I'm with you. I mean, I really couldn't be any more confident in this Eagles defense going into the playoffs. They're healthy. They've got all 11 starters. You know, BG, if you count him, that would be one that they don't have. But other than that, they're healthy. I love the way they cover. I love the way they tackle. I love the way they communicate in the secondary. I love that Jalen Carter got a week off there because he was playing a lot of snaps, and now he should be fresh. And, like, we could be talking about a month from now that, man, Jalen Carter has just put together an amazing postseason run. If we're talking about the Eagles in the Super Bowl, I think that's one of the guys that's going to be a reason for why they're there. So I'm with you. Yeah, I would be surprised if whenever this run ends, if we're saying, man, it ended because the Eagles defense didn't show up. That's not to say they're going to shut down every offense. You know, you're going to give up plays. You're going to give up some points here and there. But I just have so much confidence in both the coaching staff and the players that they're going to put their best foot forward this week and if the Eagles advance going forward.
And where these young guys have developed, I mean, Nolan Smith wasn't even really being thought of the first four or five games of the season. And he's a major contributor right now. And Cooper DeJean wasn't in that first game. It was Avante Maddox out there. I just wonder, how do you attack this Packers passing game? I know what we got to do in that running game, but from a passing standpoint, no Christian Watson. What are we doing, or what do you think we need to do as far as keeping Jordan Love contained?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. If you look at Jordan Love, he has struggled against man coverage this year, which is not necessarily what the Eagles do week in and week out. They can play it at times. So that's an interesting sort of back and forth between Vic Fangio and the Packers. Does Fangio say, no, we're going to do what we normally do. We like to play a lot of zone. Or does he say, man, they don't have Christian Watson in the lineup. I love my cornerbacks. Let's be a little bit more aggressive. Let's press at the line of scrimmage. Let's give our pass rush some time to get home there. Like I just said, Jordan Love doesn't take a lot of sacks, so can you make him hold on to the football? But really, I think the big thing is continuing to limit the explosive plays. You know, no one has done that better than the Eagles, and that's what Jordan Love wants to do. Like, if you're playing that way, he's going to still be aggressive and take his shots downfield, and that's where maybe you get a turnover or two from him. That was an issue for him early in the season. So I think those are some of the things I'm looking at when I look at what they might do defensively.
You know, Sheila, you mentioned Jordan Love being inconsistent. The Packers are a weird team overall because you look at the numbers, whether it's the standard numbers or the advanced ones, and you're like, well, here's an elite offensive and elite defensive team. But they just win 11 games, and when you watch them, you don't always feel that. I guess my question from a big picture standpoint is, how good are they? You know, good are the Packers?
Yeah, before the season, I had them as my Super Bowl pick from the NFC. I thought they were going to come out of the NFC. I thought Jordan Love was going to be an MVP candidate. And I think a big thing is he kind of went through some injuries. He missed a couple games. Then he comes back, and he's been a little bit inconsistent there. And then defensively, they changed coordinators. And defensively, they're very good at creating turnovers. That is their calling card. Like down to down, snap to snap, it's not the best defense you're going to see. But they found a way to create those big plays. So I think they're in a tough spot here. You know, I think if they were at full strength, I would say, hey, watch out. They could be the team nobody wants to play. But they lose their best cornerback in Jaire Alexander. They lose their biggest play threat at wide receiver in Christian Watson. And now if they're really going to make a run, I mean, they would have to beat the Eagles at the link. They would have to go to Detroit and beat that team. And it just sort of feels like maybe this isn't their season. Not to say they can't win. Weird things happen. We know that. But I think they're a good team, but not a great team. You know, when they face the Eagles, Vikings, and Lions, they're 0-5 in those games. They've been competitive, but they didn't find a way to win any of those games. So I think they haven't quite reached the level that people thought they might reach this season.
So before we ask you for your prediction, you as a generational Nick Sirianni hater, I want to ask you if you think that Nick's job should be on the line on Sunday. If the Eagles lose to the Packers, do you think that that should cost Nick Sirianni his job?
No, I think bad organizations do it that way, where they say the results of this one game. And like you hear that sometimes at the end of a regular season, hey, if they don't win this game in like week 17, the coach is gone. I mean, I think that's not a good way to do it. You know, and I know you're giving me a hard time there, but listen, they went 14-3. And so, I mean, I have a hard time seeing a scenario where Jeffrey Lurie, if he was thinking about, do I bring Sirianni back last offseason, he chooses to bring him back. And then he goes 14-3 to then say, all right, we're going in a different direction. So no, I don't think his job is on the line or should be on the line based on the results of this game.
All right. Shiel, we need the official prediction, the Shiel Kapadia of the Ringer prediction on the WIP afternoon show.
For the first time. You know, I don't reveal this to anyone, family members, neighbors, Wawa, everybody's asking me. Listen, you got to tune into WIP at 3 o'clock on Thursday.
Okay.
I look at their offense, and the Eagles' offense, you just put the check mark next to their personnel at every spot against that Packers defense. And so even if it's not the most crisp game, I think just eventually they're going to find a way to score some points, whether it's a Saquon Barkley run, A.J. Brown deep pass, whatever it is. So I have confidence in their offense. And then defensively, like I just said, I mean, I'm going to like their chances against pretty much any offense in the NFL. So there are paths to which the Packers win this football game. Jordan Love gets hot. Jalen Hurts turns the football over. But I don't think that's the most likely scenario. I like the Eagles in this game, 27-20.
All right. And that's a cover, Shiel. That's a cover. That's
well,
a cover.
I knew you'd yell at me if I say they win, but it's a field goal. So I don't want to have to go through that again. So I just said, you know, I'm just going to predict them to cover.
The Ike Reese and Jack Fritz special.
Yeah,
Eagles
right,
win,
man.
But don't cover.
Yeah.
All right, Shiel. We appreciate you as always. Hopefully we have a weird conversation next Thursday at 3, but it's after a win. That's what I'm looking
for. All right, guys. Take care.
All right, there brother. He is. Shiel Kapadia. You know, when I'm thinking about predictions for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. So I had been predicting the Eagles would lose by double digits every week, and they kept winning and winning and winning.
Yeah.
And then on the final prediction that we had before we went to break, I predict they would lose by double digits to the Commanders, mm-hmm. and they actually lost the game. Yeah. So the question is, do I still have to predict that they will lose by double digits after that string is over?
No.
Okay, so I can make my normal prediction tomorrow.
Yep.
All right.
Yep. Once it's broken, it's broken.
It's broken. Yeah. All right. So
it was fun for 10 weeks.
It was. You're welcome, Eagles.
Yes. It was fun for 10 weeks.
You're welcome.
Yep.
So what we've been talking about today is, with Jalen coming back from a concussion, whether the Eagles on Sunday should just let it rip, let him run like he normally does, let him throw like he normally does full on, or play it safe. And Ike is suggesting they should be careful with him, given mm-hmm. he's had 1.5 concussions this year.
Yeah.
Jason Kelce was on the morning show today talking about the value of RPO versus the Packers specifically, and here's what he had to say.
I do think RPOs are good against teams like this. They play a lot of zone coverages. You can mess with the linebackers when they're in their zones and try and mess with them. You can do zone reads, and all that stuff is paired well against these teams that have tried to run zone coverages against the Eagles. So if it's a zone game and those players are there, yeah, call them early, and he'll run into somebody and realize he's okay, and we'll be all good.
So
I don't know about that. I don't need him running into anybody.
he'll realize he's okay or not.
Yeah, I don't need that. Yeah, if he runs into a DB, okay, maybe. But yeah, is he running into a linebacker? Is he running into a DN?
Well, also the important thing to remember about an RPO is that he has the option. That, like, that's what it stands for, run pass option, right? So
yeah.
He can give the ball to Saquon, he can throw the ball, or he can keep it himself. And the reason that that was an effective play for so long is that there's three things that the offense can do out of it, and it keeps the defense guessing a little bit. So I think, you know, to your point, what he might want to do. And I thought Shiel made a good point that a lot of the times that he gets hit, it is when he's held the ball too long.
Sure.
So
maybe. Yeah, that's on him too. Yeah, that's on him.
You know.
Yeah, some of this is like I'm not naive enough to think they aren't going to run Jalen Hurts at some point Sunday. My thing is, we don't need to overdo it, and he needs to be smart.
Right.
When he does it, meaning get down, don't take unnecessary hits. That's, and even that goes back to the whole holding the ball in the pocket, taking shots in the pocket, like
getting sacked too much.
Yeah, like you don't need to do that stuff.
It's funny thinking back to the Michael Vick days. You remember when he couldn't slide?
And yeah.
Didn't they bring a baseball player in to teach him how to slide?
Terry Pendleton,
that's what it was. Never figured it out. Looked like when he was trying to slide, it felt like it looked like when I tried to ski or something. Like he just couldn't figure out how it actually worked.
Well, legs are moving too fast.
Right, yes.
Legs are moving too fast.
Do you have something, Buzz? Oh, no, you're looking at me like you did. All right, 215-592-9494. Derek and Paoli, you're on WIP. Derek.
That's Shiel still. Oh, hold on.
No, it's Derek.
Oh, mine is Shiel.
Oh.
There it is. Okay, now
Derek.
There you go.
Buzz. We're fine. Poor Buzz. Well, we'll go to Kareem. Kareem in West Philly. You're on WIP. What's up, Kareem?
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
It's been a while. What's up, man?
What's up, Reem?
Yeah, I'm a combat vet. I haven't called your guys in a while, over a year. And I've been following you, though. I believe the Eagles go out there and just be aggressive, right? Play smart, right? Let Jalen get the ball out of his hands quick, right? And don't be afraid to run the plays. I think Kevin Moore has some things in his bag that nobody's seen yet, and he's going to pull them out slowly. And the defense is hungry. They just want – I can't put my finger on it, but they just want another page. It's personal with everybody on the defense. It just seems that way. Right? Everybody has something to prove. So I believe they will keep the Eagles in the game, cause a few turnovers, give the Eagles a short field. Right? And just Jalen go ahead and be aggressive and do his thing. Just play smart. You know, you don't have to be a hero.
Yeah.
But he has to play smart and go ahead and handle his business and just get him out the way early. So in the third and fourth quarter, he doesn't have to do all the extra stuff.
Well, scoring early would be awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, they had trouble with that all year. And, you know, putting themselves in position, we keep talking about time of possession, putting ourselves in position like we did in the Baltimore game to essentially end, was it Baltimore or the Pittsburgh game where we ended it like on an 11-minute drive?
No, that was Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. Like putting ourselves in position to be up 7 or 10 points in the middle of the third quarter to drain the life out of them with that one of those 9.5-minute drives and go up, you know, two scores or three scores, that would be a perfect situation, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the drives where Saquon really shines and usually ends up busting one.
Yep. Offensive line starts to wear you down a little bit.
Yep. And thank you for the call, Kareem. You think we win it, right? Yeah? Yeah?
Yes, we'll definitely.
That's on me. Sorry, Kareem. He mentioned how tough the defense is.
Yeah.
It really is amazing. We saw a huge difference. We always point to the bye and think of the difference in the team offensively after the bye.
Mm-hmm.
And they did play well in New Orleans, the defense did.
Mm-hmm.
But just thinking back to those first four games, you know, they allowed, 29 points to Green Bay, 31 points or whatever to Tampa. What was this? Atlanta, what'd they score? 20-something? 20? Because we lost the Atlanta game.
Mm-hmm.
24, 25 points, whatever
it was.
Well,
they were worse that last drive of the game.
Yes.
They let Atlanta march down a damn field.
And thinking about and remembering that, because Fangio brought it up and Sirianni brought it up. They both brought up the idea that they missed all these tackles.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the bye, all of that changed. It's just amazing to me that something like that can change, that tackling can change. Because to me, that would be about personnel. It'd be like, these guys just don't have it. But just saying we need to tackle better and then tackling better, it's just unbelievable to me that the
it's what I yell about every year, Spike. It's you don't become a good tackling team without practicing
tackling
this way. Like right. You have to, and I'm not saying you have to take your running back to the ground and practice and all this type of stuff, but what they did was they realized they needed to have tackling drills. They needed to focus on better tackling. Like, that's what they did. They started practicing in pads on Wednesdays. I was excited to hear Coach Sirianni say the other day, yeah, we're putting on the pads today.
Right.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
It's January. You as an Eagles football fan ought to be excited and happy about that. That's why I yelled and screamed at Elliott every training camp with his nonsense about the, you know, being healthier and get off the field and having 45-minute practices and at least everybody's healthy nonsense. It's why they were a soft team last year with that nonsense when they did it. They didn't tackle anybody. And coming out, They didn't play in the preseason, so they felt the ramifications of that in the first few weeks of the season, to the point where they knew they had to do some things differently in practice. That's why I give Nick Sirianni so much credit. See, it's those things when people say, well, what does he do? What does he do? He just changed the whole freaking mindset of this football team, which was a soft-ass team last year. To where they're mentally tough right now as a football team. They can bounce back after a tough loss or after a tough outing and be at their best. They don't let stuff off the field sort of destroy the locker room. Like, they are all connected, man. And that's what this dude does as far as having his team ready to go.
Nakobe, it's funny you say that about like the sort of toughing it out and being that kind of defense in practice too. Nakobe Dean said this yesterday.
And especially doing a stadium practice, padded mm-hmm. practice, yeah. Music bumping. Did it get you even more excited for the playoffs?
I mean, it was all right. It was all right, you know, to be in the stadium, but it do make you kind of feel, you know, you want to take advantage of every opportunity like this. Not everybody gets this opportunity to play in the playoffs. Man, I was just on Snapchat looking at my guys' stories, and Instagram—they all on the beach or in Miami. And I'm like, yeah, we in the cold working. So it's an opportunity and it's a privilege.
Yeah,
yeah, that's the right attitude.
That's what you need, man.
Yeah, want to be out in the cold,
yes.
Working.
Yeah. That's what you need. And this is where Howie deserves a lot of credit. The guys he brought in. You got to bring in guys that have this mindset. A guy like Cooper DeJean played at Iowa. Kirk Ferentz, those are maniacs out there at Iowa.
And it's cold.
It's cold as hell, and that's all they do is play defense and run the football.
Right.
That's just something he's used to doing. So you got the Georgia boys, they're used to preparing a certain way, practicing a certain way, playing at a certain level. You bring more of those guys in with that type of temperament, and then that's what your football team becomes. They are ready to embrace the hard work because it's what they are accustomed to.
Well, it's also contagious in a way, because if you have a player who's very talented, maybe he's in the middle of what you're talking mm-hmm. about. He's not soft, but he's also not one of those guys.
Sure.
Well, if everyone around you is that
rubs
guy.
Rubs off on him.
You have to be that
yep.
guy, right? Or you're not going to survive.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, 215-592-9494. Jalen on Sunday. Let it rip or
tater
play
chip.
It safe. Let it rip, tater chip, or play it safe. Also, Jordan Love spoke about he did get hurt on Sunday. Talked about whether how healthy he is for Sunday. And I have to, you know, we had a show yesterday about Jalen proving something. And I just have to revisit that take. What did we call it in the meeting today? A retake?
A retake.
A bit of a retake. Now, I'm not changing my mind, but I do believe that I can deliver it in a way that is even more compelling.
You're going to polish it.
Yeah, I'm going to polish it like you. A polished
You're
going
to polish your turd. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Just been using that a lot the last 2 days.
Yep. We're going to shave something off of it.
Going to smooth it out.
We're going to smooth it out. All right, that's next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.